In John chapter 14 and verse 1, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." One of the greatest promises of Jesus is found here. In three simple words, "I come again." This morning, friends, on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to begin a series of lessons on the second coming of Christ. Are you prepared for that? Are you aware of that? Are you thinking about that on a daily basis? That when Jesus comes again, we can go to be with him in his Father's house in heaven itself. I come again. It reminds me of General MacArthur's statement when he was in the Philippines, "I will return." And he certainly headed up the Navy forces that brought swift judgment upon Japan. Are we ready for that return? Not of General MacArthur, but of the greatest who's ever lived, Jesus Christ. We live under this promise one way or the other. Jesus is coming again, whether we believe it or not. And there is a need to remind ourselves of what the Bible teaches about this matter. I was looking at some statistics. They are now about 10 to 12 years old. They're not real current, but they're not that old. Where about 80% of those who claim to be Christians in America believe in the second coming of Christ, 20% do not. I'm not sure how you can call yourself a Christian and not believe in the second coming of Christ, but apparently there are those who are out there. To open up our New Testament, it is obvious in many places where we are told that Jesus is coming again. Our normal lives, daily routines, schedules and habits and routines and traditions are all going to be upset and overturned one day when Jesus comes again. And we've got to be thinking about that, because he could certainly come in our lifetime. So, on the program, I want to consider what the New Testament says about the second coming of Christ. And there are six important questions that we want to answer, and we will take some of those each time we have our program. Number one, what is going to happen? Number two, who is coming? Number three, when is he coming? Number four, why is he coming? Number five, where is he coming from and where is he coming to? And then finally, how is he coming, or what is the manner of his coming? Just as the Philippine Islanders waited intently for MacArthur's return, and he did come and helped liberate them from the Japanese, are you and I waiting intently and patiently for Jesus to return to liberate us from this life that we are in, to be in a home in heaven? So let's consider the most important day that lies ahead for all of us, and that is the second coming of Christ and the judgment day. We may die first. we may die first. That's true. But there's going to be a coming judgment day. And the second coming of Christ will usher that in. So I want to begin this morning by considering the what. What is going to happen? Jesus is coming a second time. There are a lot of people who certainly believe in the first coming of Jesus. And not just simply by the Bible record, there are secular historians, Pliny and Tacitus and Josephus, Roman historians and Jewish historians who speak of Jesus on the earth, and even people who don't claim to be Christians, even atheists, admit that a man named Jesus appeared the first time. But many do not believe in the second coming of Christ. That involves the miraculous, and they don't believe in that. So let's consider the fact of what is going to happen. Jesus is coming again. First of all, Jesus' promise to return was believed by Jesus himself. He said, "I come again." But not only Jesus, others. The angels in Acts chapter 1, the angelic world believed that. In Acts chapter 1, when Jesus ascended into heaven, when he had said these things, he was speaking to his apostles. As they were looking, he was taken up in a cloud and received him out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And we know from other statements like that in Scripture that we're talking about angels. These men said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you looking into heaven? This Jesus who was received up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you beheld him going into heaven." Jesus believed that he was coming back. The angels believed that he is coming back. And we're going to make a point on this later in our series that Acts 1:11 is important. It gives the manner, in like manner you will behold him as you behold him going into heaven. So a visible going into heaven, a visible coming from heaven. The angels believed it. New Testament Christians believed it. When the Apostle Paul spoke of partaking of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it's not only a looking back toward the death of Christ on the cross and remembering the body and the blood of Jesus, but Paul said in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 11, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death." Now look at it. "Till he come." Till he come. So he's coming again, and New Testament Christians are thinking about that. They're looking backward to the death of Christ. They're looking inward to their own discerning in their mind of the body and the blood, and they're looking forward to the coming of Jesus. But the apostles also believed in the second coming of Christ. The apostle Paul, for example, wrote on a number of occasions about the second coming of Christ. There are too numerous to mention here this morning on the program. I just want to mention Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. "For our citizenship is in heaven," speaking of Christians, not everybody. I would encourage you, as an American citizen, to become a citizen of heaven. Those are two different things. And just as we are to abide by the laws. To be an American citizen, we need to abide by the laws of the New Testament to be a citizen of heaven. And that's when we are baptized into the body of Christ. And we are a part of the kingdom of heaven. So our citizenship is in heaven. Paul is talking about himself as a Christian and other Christians, whence also we wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall fashion anew the body of our humiliation. We have a physical body now that decays and deteriorates, and that body will be changed that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, according to the working whereby he is able even to subject all things unto himself. We wait for a Savior. But so many places, 1 Corinthians 1:7, 15:23, 2 Corinthians 5:10, Colossians 3:4, 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 3:13, 4:15, 5:23, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1 and verse 8, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 14, and we can go on. Paul believed in the second coming of Christ. The writer of Hebrews believed in the second coming of Christ, where he gives that well-known statement that it is appointed unto man once to die. Inasmuch as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this cometh judgment, so Christ also, having been once offered to bear the sins of many, that's the first time he was on the earth, shall appear a second time apart from sin to them that wait for him unto salvation. Notice that the Hebrew writer says we're going to die, and then comes the judgment. There will also be those who are still living when Jesus comes, and he's going to appear a second time. And note the word second in Hebrews 9:28. Jesus is coming a second time, but not a third time or a fourth time, as some suppose. Some, in their erroneous theology of eschatology, meaning a study of last things or final things, and the second coming of Christ, their erroneous beliefs about that have Jesus coming a third time and a fourth time. They have him coming a second time and the so-called rapture. And then 7 years of tribulation goes by, and there will be the Battle of Armageddon that they falsely interpret from the book of Revelation, and they wrongly interpret the rapture from 1 Thessalonians 4. So he comes a second time at the beginning of 7 years. He comes a third time at the end of the 7 years in the Battle of Armageddon. And then sometime after that, he comes a fourth time to judge the world at the end of 1,000 years, which is wrongly interpreted from Revelation chapter 20. So there are a number of Bible passages that are misused and abused, and we have Jesus coming four times when the writer says in Hebrews 9:28, a second time. Friends, that second time is it. That's it. There's no third chance and fourth chance and so forth. And there are those who teach wrongly about the second coming of Christ that say that you'll have another chance after the second coming. And you might even have another chance after the third coming. No. Jesus is coming a second time, and you have to be prepared for that. Others spoke about the coming of Jesus Christ. James did, James 5, 7 and 8. And Peter did in 1 Peter 1, 7 and verse 13, chapter 5, verse 4. 2 Peter 3, verse 4 and 12. John speaks of Jesus coming again, 1 John 2, 28 and chapter 3 and verse 2 and other places. Are you ready for that, friends? Are you among the 20% of so-called Christians who do not believe in the second coming of Christ? Are you among that group of individuals, and I don't know what the current statistic is, that's an unbeliever and an atheist and a skeptic and a humanist? Just as surely as Jesus came the first time, he can certainly come the second time. So number one, what is going to happen? Jesus is going to come back a second time. Number two, who is going to come? Well, you say, well, you just said Jesus was coming, so that's an obvious answer. Yes, Jesus is coming, but we're going to see that someone is joining him. Jesus is coming. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. The Lord himself. And so, just as Acts 1:11, just as the disciples saw him going into heaven, they will see him coming. Mankind, excuse me, will see him coming back again. But who will be with him? Well, his angels, his holy angels. And that is going to be a great day. And it will not be something that will be overlooked or missed. In the same verse of 1 Thessalonians 4:16, where Paul writes, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, in that same verse, he says, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There's going to be a shout. There's going to be the voice of the archangel. There's going to be the trump of God. You're not going to miss this day, friends. It's not going to come and go. And you said, well, I didn't know that happened. There are a lot of events that come and go, and we don't know that they happen. From time to time, somebody will say, well, did you see on the news where such and such happened? And I'll say, nope, I didn't know that. I heard about the Queen of England dying recently, passing away in her funeral. Heard about that. And maybe you did too. There are things that we hear about. There are a lot of things we don't hear about. This one is not going to be something, well, I didn't hear about that. We're going to know. It's going to be visible and audible. And in Matthew 25:31, Jesus said himself, but when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them in his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Are you going to be on that side of the equation? Skipping down a few verses, then shall he also say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. Are you going to be on the right hand of the righteous or the left hand of the wicked and the cursed? Verse 46, these shall go away into eternal punishment, those on the left hand, the cursed, but the righteous unto eternal life. The two destinies, the two and only two destinies. Friends, are you ready for that day to come? There is a coming judgment day. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He was writing that to the church at Corinth, and in town, at the very time that Paul was writing this, in town there was a raised bema, or judgment seat, where political decisions were made and courtroom decisions were made. And so they were very familiar with a judgment seat. You can still see that to this day. Ruins of it. And Paul is reminding them that there is another coming judgment seat. And we have to stand before Christ, the King and the Judge. And Paul says that each one may receive the things done in the body. Look at this. According to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. We're going to have to give an account. We don't live in a society that gives people account, that holds people accountable and responsible for their actions. We live in a world today where people get by with all kinds of things. Nobody does anything. People hurt other people. Nobody's held accountable. We've seen some of that recently in the pandemic. Death and destruction. Who is being held accountable for any of that? Other kinds of things go on all the time. Murders and thefts and rape and destruction and burning and looting. And we're seeing today where a person may or may not be arrested. If they are, they're let off, they're let out the same day or the next day, right back on the street. The recent horrific crimes that have been committed recently in Memphis, the girl that was killed recently in Memphis, he was a repeat offender that had been let out. And it happens all the time. Well, there is going to be a great day of accountability, Paul says. We're going to give an account. Each one. And we need to be ready for that day. In 2 Thessalonians, when Paul writes about the second coming of Christ, Paul writes something that is extremely important. He says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm sorry, chapter 1 and verse 8. At the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven, verse 7, with the angels in his power in flaming fire. Now we're answering the question, who is coming? Well, Jesus is coming, and he's coming with his angels. And somebody might think, well, that'll be neat. You know, angels are really cool looking individuals, and it's got to be this fun picture up in heaven. Here comes Jesus, and there's a bunch of angels around him. Maybe they're dressed in white, and that'll be such a neat thing to look at. It'll be fun, and everybody will be having a good time. Well, let's look at what Paul says. Some of these angels, at least, are described as angels of power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Oh, now we see a different picture. These angels in flaming fire are rendering vengeance on you and I who do not know God or who do not obey the gospel. That's why, friends, this subject is very important, because if you have not obeyed the gospel, have heard that saving gospel, the gospel saves, Romans 1:16, believes that Jesus is the Christ, John 8:24, Romans 10:9 and 10, and willing to confess that with your mouth, repent of your sins and be baptized, Acts 2:38. Live faithfully in newness of life, Romans 6:3 through 6. If you've not done that, you have not obeyed the gospel. And you're going to get the vengeance and the wrath of God upon you, and you will suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord. Friends, I don't want that to happen to you, but it's going to. And so please, I beg you to obey the gospel. Because when Jesus comes with his angels, some of those angels are going to be in flaming fire, and they're coming after you who do not obey the gospel. And they're coming after me if I do not obey the gospel. In Jude, the little book of Jude, verse 14, behold, the Lord came with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their works of ungodliness, which they have ungodly wrought, and all the hard things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. God, the Lord, comes with his holy ones, his angels, to execute judgment, to convict, and to execute. That is a serious thing. So, friends, we want to encourage you to do what is right. Jesus is coming again, and he's coming with his angels. And it can be, you can hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You can hear, depart from me, I never knew you. The choice is yours. And so we have to be living like Jesus now so that we can be ready when he comes again. And the knowledge of the second coming should encourage us to live right now. In 1 John chapter 3, and we'll close with this, John writes in verse 2, beloved, now we are children of God, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, Jesus, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. Look at this. And everyone that has this hope, that is the hope of being like Jesus when he comes, set on him, purifies himself even as he is pure. We purify ourselves now, knowing that Jesus is coming again. And if we can help you to do that, friends, please contact us. Let's get rid of that sin in our life by obeying the gospel so that we can be ready for Jesus to come again. I'm so thankful that you've joined us on the program. I hope that you'll continue to stay with us as we learn what the Bible says about these matters. We simply want to let the Bible speak, and we're glad that you've been a part of it. And I hope that you'll now have a good day.